Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a topic that affects everybody, and you hope it doesn't, but it could, and I don't need to drag very hard to get this under the financial tent. A subject relevant to all of us is identity theft. And so we brought in the big gun. He has been on all over the place, John Cilio. He is CEO of the Cilio Group. He's a privacy evangelist. That's the first time I've heard that term, but Lord, we all need one. He's a keynote speaker. The website, Cilio, S-I-L-E-O.com, and the book, two books, Privacy Means Profit, Identity Theft Recovery Guide, two books from John. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, David.
Listen, you're in high demand. I see you all the places you are being asked to speak, and we are privileged to have you on the program, and I'm not going to waste a second. Give my listeners the story that started all of this for you, because it's an incredible story, and I think it makes the point very effectively of why people really need to pay attention, both as businesses as well as individuals, to this whole identity theft problem and challenge that we face.
Yeah, I'm one of the unfortunate people who didn't pay attention beforehand to the, you know, the prevention side. So I put my trash out one day, and shortly after we had sold our home, bought a new one, and apparently there's this group that comes by called Trash Men, or the Cash Men. They're like your trash men, but they pick up all your documents and that are unshredded, and they sell them on the internet. A woman bought my identity and used it to buy a home, actually in Boca Raton, Florida.
Holy smokes!
Went bankrupt, committed some crimes, left me to commit the crimes, or let me clean up the crimes. And then, unfortunately, after buying the shredder and doing a couple of other things, I thought I was good. I thought it was all about a checklist. And it turns out my business partner used my identity to embezzle about $300,000 from our client. And I spent the next 2 years fighting a criminal trial. And I lost my several million-dollar software company because I was totally distracted during the time. And there was a lot of press on it. I lost about $300,000, and that led me into writing a book about it, and then fun places in the media like here.
Well, listen, horrible story, and let's look for the silver lining of what happened. Did your ex-business partner end up going to jail?
Yeah, he went to jail. It's kind of shocking what happens to white-collar criminals. He went for 18 days. It was a 54-day sentence here in Colorado, commuted to 18 days.
Wow.
He happened to be independently wealthy and, you know, could afford a cadre of lawyers. He didn't do it for the money. He was had plenty of it. He was doing it to launder money for some illegal stuff that he was doing. So,
wow. That's
horrible. Went to jail, and I got a new career as a keynote speaker and author.
Well, here you are, and thank you for, you know, a lot. It certainly would be understandable if somebody kind of turned inward and just balled up in a big ball and disappeared from the world, but you
did some of that too.
Well, I think anybody would, and I think a lot of over the last decade, a lot of people have for a variety of reasons, including, you know, economic meltdown, the greatest recession since the Depression. I mean, there's lots of things that have happened, and a lot of people have felt that way, but I love your story because you embraced it and you took it and turned it into something very good to be able to help other people, and that's why we're delighted to have you. And some of John's satisfied clients for our listeners, John, this is a big deal to have him on. Department of Defense, Visa, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Homeland Security, Federal Trade Commission, a lot of well-respected government as well as private sector organizations. So what is the number one thing, John? And there's a lot we can cover. But we don't have 3 hours, so I'll try to hit some key points that we want to, you know, glean from you. And that is, what is the biggest thing that people would be surprised about with regard to identity theft that just may they be like, wow, I didn't realize that about it?
You know, a couple of things. I think how many people it hits. You know, essentially it's 1 in 10 households every year that has a severe case of theft. Of course, with breaches like Home Depot and Target right there, that's half the American population. So, you know, almost everybody has their data breached every single year, whether it's used fraudulently or not. That's about 1 in 10. And that, you know, your identity, whether your credit's good or bad, your identity's worth about an average of $300,000.
Wow.
Your buying power, your credit. And people don't realize they're worth that much. They think that, you know, because they don't make a bunch of money, that they're not worth it. But these thieves are squeezing the orange of future credit and future buying power, and that's really where the money is.
Well, okay, so what I'm hearing you say is we are all potentially at risk. How can we, you know, my listeners are going, well, how can we bank? How can we shop online? How can we feel safe? How are going even into these stores you mentioned, Home Depot, Target, and others, how can we comfortably or feel secure using our credit card? Or should we just not use credit cards and do what I'm trying to do personally, which is to use more cash and just not use a credit card or at least reduce the number of credit cards I work with?
Yeah, you know, the point is not to have a bunch of fear and paranoia about it. It's kind of like driving your car. You know, you can crash and die in that as well, but we've instituted things. We've got seat belts and we've got airbags and defensive driving courses and smarter cars that, you know, that have eliminated a lot of that problem if you're smart. And it's the same way in the data world. And in my latest book, Privacy Means Profit, I go through, you know, kind of a calendaring of items of, you know, here's 30, 40, 50 things you can do, but this is step one. Number one, you've got to, you know, for example, freeze your credit. You can put a password on your credit profile that makes it exceptionally difficult for a thief to take out a new account, whether it's a credit card account, a bank account, a home loan, like in my case, checks. It makes it very hard because that credit file is locked. And on the credit card side of it, I'm a big fan of credit cards, frankly. I love using them. They have a lot of liability coverage. Debit cards I'm not so big on because I can drain your bank account in minutes with a debit card. But credit cards are great.
That was a great tip you mentioned about the freezing or locking your credit. Is that where you do it directly with one of the credit reporting agencies? Or
yeah, you can do it with, so you do it with all three of them.
Okay.
Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. And if you want, we can point your listeners to a blog that explains exactly what you're doing.
Let's do. Go ahead.
It's just Cilio.com/2. It's kind of the number two thing that I talk about doing. And so Cilio.com/2, it'll go through how you do a credit freeze at each of the bureaus, why you would do it, what the downsides. There's always a downside. You know, there's an inconvenience. In this case, when you go to get new credit, it's a little bit more difficult than because you have to unfreeze it. You have to take 5 minutes, call the credit bureau, maybe it's Experian you're dealing with, and say, hey, here's my passcode. Open up my credit for the next day. It opens up. It freezes back down. Boom, everybody's locked back out.
I like it. That's great. Hey, listen, if we do nothing else, that's great advice for our listeners, John. That's excellent. So the reality is that, you know, credit cards are here to stay, and of course the credit cards may be an intermediary step. We may be coming to other things down the road with watches or other things that we use to check in, check out, or whatever the case may be. Let's shift gears a little bit because it's not just the individual. You know, there's a whole side of this that is the responsibility of businesses to, I guess, protect their consumer or safeguard data. And I'd love to have you kind of weigh in on that. So let's grab a quick break. We'll come back with John Cilio. He's the CEO of the Cilio Group, Cilio.com. He gave you that website, Cilio.com. And if you want to look at that freezing your credit, do that Cilio.com/2. The books are Privacy Means Profit and Identity Theft Recovery Guide. Right back after this break.
What if in the time it takes to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? If you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? There is no cost or obligation to meet with David. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com for more information.
And we're back with John Cilio. Thank you, sir, for being on the line with me. John, yeah, thank you. The privacy evangelist. And we need to continue to evangelize because this is such an important topic. So talk about businesses' responsibilities. What should businesses be doing? You know, I, as a financial planner, John, you know, obviously we are responsible for a lot of confidential information. So we have procedures in place, and we're always looking at them and updating. So I'm not only interested in your sharing this for our listeners, but I'm interested as well. So do tell, what do businesses do?
Yeah, you know, it's really important. In fact, yesterday I was in Houston delivering to FPA, the Financial Planner Association of Houston, about that exact topic. And there's a lot. I mean, starting with the mobile devices that we all utilize, you know, as planners and as business people, and that our clients utilize for things like banking and investing. There's a lot of things you need to look at. The average American, or I should say about 60%+ of Americans, don't even have a passcode on that, you know, mobile computer. We call it a phone, but it's actually a computer that happens to make calls.
That's right. Access
and,
to the world.
You know, I mean, here's a good example. You leave it in a cafe, the thief picks it up, no passcode on it, they do a down swipe, the little search bar comes up, they type in just the word bank, brings up every email, every app, every website ever visited that's your bank. Now they surf to your bank right on that phone, they go to the forgot my password button, hit it, it sends an email, of course, to the phone.
Right.
Now they're banking as you in less than 30 seconds.
Yep.
That happens all the time because people just don't have passcodes on those little mobile computers.
Mm-mm-mm. And that's great. Another great tip, John. Password protect your phone. Okay. So from the business standpoint, we see these data breaches and we hear about them, and it just gives me shivers down my spine of how this compromised data. Is it technology to blame? Is it companies not investing heavily enough in the prevention of these data breaches? Is it inevitable? I see these headlines and I go, okay, well, what are the ramifications for these companies?
Definitely not inevitable. The companies who take steps, because they've done something, the thieves don't want any resistance, so they go, unless they're targeting you specifically, in general, they move on to the next business. So there are kind of a series of seven or eight things that I talk about in my speeches that businesses can do just in terms, for example, of cybersecurity. And kind of what it nets out to for the average small business is you need to bring in a company, an IT security company that can do an audit on where you're at risk. Because it's different for every business. It's different depending on if you've got Wi-Fi and you need to have, you know, internal encryption. It's different on if you use broker-dealer system and you're sending information back and forth. You know, you have to have encryption on your laptops. It's almost too much for the average small business to do on their own. They need to invest in the money. They've invested in the equipment and the software. They need to invest in the money to have it well protected. And a good IT services firm can do that for you with very minimal cost.
Well, the stakes are so high. And many businesses, not just financial planning firms like mine, many businesses have customer client data that, you know, things is that you wouldn't, people may not necessarily think of. These businesses have a lot of personal, could have a lot of personal information about us.
Yeah, they do. And it puts you, you know, both from a client's perspective, because you're required to protect that and report it if it's missing. There's a great deal, particularly if you're in the financial world. So you're storing social security numbers, bank account numbers, investment numbers, birth dates. You kind of hold the keys to the kingdom. So the way that you protect that data, the firewall that you have between the internet and your offices, the automatic security scanning, antivirus, the spam software that you have, those things are critical in the financial industry. And they're not that hard to implement. It's just that kind of that human choice to do it, to take the bull by the horns and get it done. That's often what's missing, is the human aspect.
I agree. I think from a business standpoint, the company has to decide and choose to address these things and really, as you said, grab the bull by the horns, because this is not a game of running with the bulls. This is this bull's going to run you over if you don't tackle it and deal with it. And you know, as people hear these conversations, John, you know, the natural response is and maybe it's not a bad thing, but it could create a little bit of anxiety for people to take action, which would be good. But we don't want people to live in fear either. There's a balance there, I suppose.
There is, and that balance is really important. And the only reason to be in fear is if you're taking no steps at all. If you're, you know, moving forward in lessening your footprint of data that you're putting out there and in protecting your client data, you are so far ahead of the next business over that you are considerably safer. So no reason to be paranoid or for have fear if you are taking steps to protect yourself.
Well, that's very well put. And, you know, I happened to catch a Wall Street Journal article the other day that talked about the websites out there and the things that people that visit that they're, and a lot of people are not aware of this, but there's this tracking technology that ends up on our computers. And is that a risk also to us as the consumer or as individuals?
Yeah, it's particularly as individuals, that's more of a privacy concern. I mean, it's also a security concern because they're Facebook is warehousing all of your data, and then they could potentially get hacked, and all of your data is then out there. So things like, you know, there are built-in privacy features in most browsers. Turning those on and being conscious of what you click on. We still, a majority of malware for planners and advisors is still installed on machines in the same way, which is somebody clicking on a link that they thought was legitimate.
Right.
It's not. And it's easy to learn how not to click on those.
Oh, you'll love this, John. I got the call for, and I'm sure you've heard of it, I had to be at my house for something during the middle of the workday, and I got a phone call, and I was like, I'll answer it. And it was the call from the guy. He was, it sounded like he was in the call center calling to help me that there was a problem with my computer. And he was from the security department of some company that I couldn't understand. And he was going to walk me through fixing it.
Yep. That's a very common one. And of course, all of our computers run a bit slower than we'd like. And so it seems like it's real
and we want
the help. And boom, we're, pretty soon we're giving away all the information or paying for a bill that we don't owe.
Well, it provided entertainment for me for a little while. I did. I have to confess. I said my computer's running fine. What are you talking about? I did talk to him. I did talk to him for a few minutes, and then I said, "Okay, thank you for the entertainment. I'm hanging up now." But it's a serious issue. All kidding aside, and you know, we see these reports, we hear about it, and I just think it's such an important thing to bring it to people's top of mind. And it's the little things that we do and being careful and, you know, guarding ourselves and just not taking chances.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a process of accumulation. You don't just overnight, you haven't solved all of these things. We've spent a long time giving away our information and putting it out there. So you take it back over time, one step at a time. And after a couple of weeks of being really conscious, a month or so, you're so much less at risk that you start to kind of calm down about it.
Yeah, well, that's good advice because I think people can get a little anxious about it. If you're just joining us, John Cilio is our guest, CEO of the Cilio Group, privacy evangelist and keynote speaker, and he's walked the walk and certainly talking the talk and living this and sharing his own personal experiences of how damaging this can be. The book, Privacy Means Profit, that's for you business owners out there. You need to be aware. And Identity Theft Recovery Guide, another good resource. Cilio.com is the website. Quick break, and we'll get John away in a little bit on Facebook and some of these other things that are out there that could really be a risk if you're not careful. Stay right there.
Do you know how to get the most from Social Security? Don't let a simple mistake prevent you from receiving all the benefits you've earned. David Holland recently showed a retiring couple how they could get an extra $84,000 in Social Security benefits over their expected lifetime. Wow! Don't leave your money on the table. Call Holland Financial today for your one-on-one appointment. David can do a free analysis for you and show you the optimal age to start drawing Social Security and filing techniques to maximize your benefits. There is no cost or obligation. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back. John Cilio is on the line with me, and he is a big deal in the identity theft and business protecting our data market and helping people understand the importance of this. And I had a couple other things I wanted to get to with John, because great to have a resource to tap to talk about this. So it seems like every other day, John, we hear about Facebook, you know, further and further entering, trespassing, or maybe we're volunteering all the information, personal information. And it occurred to me that there, if we're not careful, there's enough information out there about us to pretty much create an avatar of ourselves, or to create this artificial person that somebody can use to do all sorts of bad things and crimes or whatever the case may be, or at very least steal our identity. And the companies certainly have a responsibility for protecting our identity, but it's even more basic than that, that we put so much out there about ourselves that all somebody's got to do is just sit down at a computer and just write it all down, and they can pretty much build the DNA of a person and steal ourselves from us, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, it's so true. We did a piece with 60 Minutes where we saw, you know, what it took to track down an average just you know, somebody. So we picked a woman at random. We found her coincidentally in 60 Minutes. We had to fly to another small town that we were close to. Found her physically in 60 Minutes and had compromised her entire identity in 6 hours. Because there were things, you know, there were birth dates, there were password, you know, reminders that you could tell that she was utilizing a dog's name and birth dates, all of which were up on her profile. So what you put out there on social media, I mean, it's social by definition, meaning shared with other people.
Right.
It's forever permanent, it's forever public. And it's exploitable to some degree.
Yeah, you can't take that stuff back once it's out there. You can certainly take it down, but it's out there somewhere.
Yeah, the classic example is Snapchat. Everybody quotes Snapchat as, you know, it disappears. But what they don't know is it is housed forever in Snapchat along with your surfing and your behavioral profile. So it never does really disappear.
It's a scary thing, John, and people, everyone needs to be vigilant. And it used to be, hey, don't carry your social security card in your wallet. Okay, that was the big, that
right.
was right. That was the big risk. Now it, you know, with the ability of people to kind of construct a profile of someone and being able to really pretty easily, as you just described, fill in the gaps. So here's another question I know my listeners will want me to ask you. What do you think about identity theft plans or insurance that's out there? Good idea, worth considering, or is there another way of dealing with it?
You know, a majority of them are a waste of money. The guys that are singing on TV and FreeCreditReport.com, those type of places are a complete waste. You can get that all for free just by going to AnnualCreditReport.com and seeing your credit profile 3 times a year. But if you're a convenience-based person, you like to have it, you know, an alert if somebody touches your credit or if somebody's selling your social security number on the dark web, the, you know, where all the criminals buy their stuff. Having a good service, one like IDRadar.com or ID Theft 911, one of those that are really solid, those are well worth it. The ones that do credit only, they're too minimal to really help.
Yeah. I personally have one just because I think I do it from a convenience standpoint, and I need the rapid response to know, just to know if some, because, and I have seen, I get reports and I know, okay, this, you know, you paid off this loan, Dave, my report was updated. I need to know anytime that happens. And also for the kids to know, you know, that's not one that people often think about, but just to know when the kids, if there's anything going on there. And fortunately, you know, those files are quiet and dormant. I don't get a report.
Yeah, thank God. And child identity theft is probably the fastest growing segment of consumer identity theft, just because they have such pristine credit. They can, you know, these people actually farm and harvest the credit over years and years, and nobody's watching. So it's easy to do without getting caught.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, if I asked you, John, and this is a lot to bring into one question, if you had one piece of advice for our listeners regarding data security, what would it be?
One piece of advice, short of getting a copy of my book, it would probably be to be really much more mindful of where you share it. So if you're shopping online, you know, pick a reputable site or two and work with those. Don't put it all over the place. And another is, rotate at the end of busy shopping seasons after the holidays, rotate your credit card. Call and say, hey, I think my card's been compromised. Send me a new one.
Doesn't cost
it
anything.
It outdates it in all of those old databases, and it makes you safer.
Yeah, it doesn't cost anything for that. I mean, they're more than happy to ship you that credit card overnight. They want to keep you using it, and
absolutely,
they don't mind sending it to you. And you know, just as an anecdote example, you know, my kids are young, and so we go to some of the stores in the mall. And my wife, it seems like it's not every time, but it seems like when she goes to some of these, it's like then we have a problem. I'm like, okay, when you go to this store, it's almost like we got to change the credit card after she goes to the store. So there's certain stores where we only will use cash. But I love the idea of swapping out the cards, like you said. And for a lot of people, and I see this, John, they need to reduce. They don't need to have so many different cards or trying to remember. And I also love your advice about concentrating your purchases. I'm a fan of Amazon, I will confess, and I've got it set up to where I can make my purchases there pretty easily. But the thing is I can get pretty much anything I need to get on Amazon that I might find somewhere else. And if it's a dollar difference, I'm not begrudging the dollar just because I know I'm dealing with a reputable vendor.
Absolutely. And that makes all the difference in the world, even online. I mean, I know people are shopping for price, but there's a huge price to having your identity stolen. It's much better to shop someplace that's legitimate, that treats your information well and doesn't put you in that kind of situation.
Well put, John. And just to kind of put a bow on this, why this is so serious. What do you have, statistics or maybe a ballpark on how long it takes for the average person to clear up their identity theft issues and get things, I guess, repaired as much as they can?
Yeah, I'd say clearing it up is a misnomer. I still have the woman who bought a home in my name still takes out checking accounts in my name. I mean, it comes back constantly.
So wow.
It's never gone. But I think the average recovery time, it takes about 18 months to get it all done. About 120 hours over that time, and the average person spends about $6,500. That's for just a generic garden variety case, not for a serious, you know, I've taken over an identity and committed crimes type of case.
Serious business, and I'm so glad to have John on here to talk to us about it. John Cilio is our guest, and the book, we will tell him to get the book, John, because I think it's a great advice, and I'm going to order a copy for my technology director, and we'll all pass it around and read it. Privacy Means Profit, and then also Identity Theft Recovery Guide is the second book. The website, cilio.com, S-I-L-E-O.com. And John, I know you're busy. I really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me, David.
Okay, John. Thank you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.